Matthew 24, 36 to 30. Can someone help us to read? Matthew 24, 36 to 39. Praise God. Another person, verse 40 to 44. Praise God. And the last person, from verse 45 to 51. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege we have to be in your presence. We know that although we are members of this church, O Lord, but we are here by your grace. Some of us did not manage to make it today due to several reasons. Before hearing from you, O Lord, we bring them to you and we ask you, Father, to touch them. Especially we bring Adrian to you and we bring our pastors to you, Lord. Heal them completely and bless them, Father. Now we pray and ask you to give us understanding of your word and clarity, O God. Cause us to accept your word and to abide by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word that we've just read in Matthew chapter 24 is focusing on the return of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. We know that prophets in the Old Covenant prophesied about his coming, his first coming. They were talking using the term Messiah, that the Messiah will come. And the Hebrew people had an expectation of a certain Messiah, a king who will come to deliver them from the oppression they were under, the Romans. Romans were oppressing them. So the view of many Hebrews or Jews, if you want, was to see a Messiah who will come like King David, a mighty king, cause the people to gather together and to fight the Romans and to be free. The time came, as Isaiah prophesied in chapter 53. He rose like a weak flower, a weak plant. Nothing in him could impress those who were expecting a mighty warrior Messiah. He came to establish not a kingdom of this world, but a kingdom of the heart. And they missed it, because the picture was to receive a mighty warrior Messiah and look at a humble Messiah present himself to them. From the time he was born up to the age of 30, he kept a low profile. Although the Bible says in him was the fullness of the divinity. He had power to perform miracles, to do anything he wanted to do, or to stand in public and amaze people with the knowledge he had. At the age of 12, rabbis affronted Jesus and they were amazed. But from that age up to the age of 30, there is no anything written that Jesus
a position of knowledge in public to talk to people. He was waiting for the appointed time that God Himself set before him. We are created in the image of God, and Jesus lives in us, but sometimes our will, and most of the times, our will is taking over above the will of God. Especially when God is allowing trials and tribulations to come in our lives, our flesh cannot take it. We become impatient. We can't wait for the hand of God to move and give us the real deliverance and freedom. Usually, we are pushed by our flesh to do things in our own way, to cause the breakthrough. If only we give access to the Lord, although it's not rosy to go through trials and tribulations, it's painful. But the glory of God at the end will be manifested. The Lord will remember our obedience to Him, our submission to Him, to His authority and His power. Jesus had anything you can name that people today in this world we are chasing after to be successful, to be powerful, and to conquer the world. He was moving with a low key, playing low, waiting for the appointed time. And I pray that the same grace which operated in Jesus to be patient with the Father fall in our midst now, for us to be able to wait on the Lord no matter what, to be ready to pay the price that it takes to wait on the Lord. The things and issues that you have to deal with in your life for you to wait on the Lord will not be necessarily the same issues I'm going to deal with in my life. But each and every one of us, at some extent, we have to come through situations. And there, the difference must be established if indeed we are allowing Jesus, who lives in us, to take control of everything. We sang telling the Lord that our heart, in fact all our heart, is for Him. Always when I sing that song, I can say I enjoy it, but it's always a big challenge. And whenever I'm pronouncing those words, I pray in my heart, asking God, be in my life. Otherwise, it's a lie. Telling Him that all my heart is just... Of course, I am a pastor, I am a preacher, I'm born again. But in my heart, I have different issues that I'm dealing with. And sometimes some of those issues come above the will of God. Shall I truly sing and say, all my heart lives for you? Yes, it's a desire of God to see the fullness of your heart, of my heart to just live for Him. He wants to take over every space in our heart. But it's difficult for us to make it with our own strength. So whenever we're singing, it's not just for enjoyment, but it must be a prayer, asking Him to make it a reality. It's like we are professing by faith, prophesizing over ourselves by faith, that from now on, my heart will live only for You. Although we have a long way to go to chase away those evil desires, empty desires, and replace them with the divine, godly desires. He can make us to be patient with God and wait in any circumstance the will of God to be fulfilled. Now in this chapter, the Bible is not talking about that first coming when Jesus was born, when He came in this world. It's talking about the second coming, that indeed the Master will come back for me and you. But His coming is going to be a joy for those who are obedient, those who are willing to live only for Him, and a judgment, a calamity for those who don't want to obey, who are living their lives just the way they want it to be. You are no stranger to this saying that this is my body, I can do with it whatever I want. Yesterday I came across this magazine. So I took time to read it. And I was shocked. As you can see the picture, the corner, his movie star or whoever she is, she's preparing a wedding. In this coming spring, she's preparing a wedding, but she gave a condition to her boyfriend or fiance that for us to get wedded, you have to leave me my freedom to see other men, to date other men. And of course, she's already doing that. I was shocked when I read that article to see how human beings, we are going down, down and down, very far from God. We are mocking God. We forget or we tend to ignore God's favor and grace that was given to us to be handsome or beautiful, to be intelligent, skillful, strong. We're using what God invested in us to do evil and to mock God. To tell God that I don't need You. This other picture, I think you can recognize the face if only you do watch X Factor shows. She won the last show, and her ex-boyfriend went to see some magazine producers, proposing them a tape that he's good. He lived with the girl for 2 years, and they were living in sexual promiscuity. They took the pleasure to record what they were doing. So he's asking for 100,000 pounds for him to sell the tape to the magazine. The Lord Jesus is coming back, says the Bible. But what we read is bringing our minds and eyes back to the time of Noah. That luck in the days of Noah, that will be the time when the Lord will come back. Analyzing what I've just read for you and the pictures showed to you, I wonder if we have gone far from the time of Noah, the days of Noah, in immorality, impurities, and abominations. I came across one of the Hollywood gospel, and this lady said that a male has to be worshipped. Get what I'm saying? Using those dirty words. That we are becoming wicked up to that point, replacing God by mere pleasures, replacing the Maker who deserves all our worship, all our worship, to the male private part. Are you with me? In the days of Noah, the Bible here says people were drinking, partying, doing whatsoever pleased them. Even though Noah told them to prepare themselves, to be ready, because God's judgment will fall upon them, they mocked him and they mocked his God. That is no different from what we are doing today. In many aspects, the world is mocking God. The world is mocking God. I don't know if you watch the program of the 20 new Britain commandment. Channel 4, I think 2 or 3 years back, did a memorandum in the nation for the nation to vote 20 new commandments for Britain to replace the 10 old Moses commandments, saying that they are not relevant. The 4th commandment was to worship celebrities. And you understand how today's culture is being conditioned by what celebrities are saying and doing. If David Beckham cough, it must be a matter of a news. If Porsche walk naked, girls have to follow the footsteps. If 50 Cent say something, boys have to follow the step. Our world is dying day by day. Even those who are meant to open the eyes and to do the will of God, I'm talking about the church. Because the text that we read here is mainly addressed to us, the church. We see in many aspects, churches are mocking God. Especially when the minister is running after fame. He wants to be also a tele-evangelist or prophet or pastor, an international figure. The prophecy that says that in the last days, people are going to desire things that are tickling their ears, he will jump into that prophecy, wear it, and make himself comfortable in it, bringing to the people what can please their own ears, and leave the word of God aside. And before members come to the understanding that the leader has fared away in his faith and follow his steps. And the church, which is meant to be the light, the salt of this world, starts copying also Hollywood. Doing things in the manner of paganism. The word has disappeared in many churches. All you can hear is messages geared towards prosperity. And people are okay with that. Instead of getting ready for the coming of the Lord. Let me read again verse 42 to 44. So always be ready, because you don't know the day your Lord will come. Remember this. If the owner of the house knew what time of night a thief was coming, the owner would watch and not let the thief break in. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at a time you don't expect him. He will come at a time we are not expecting him. What does it mean? We have prophecies talking about the signs of his coming. Reading from verse 1, this same chapter 24, Matthew. You're going to see that the Bible is talking about wars, famine, chaos in the world. And today we are seeing all those things. Some nations today are raising against Israel for the last bombing in Gaza. We see nation rising against another nation. back in Africa is complete chaos. Congo and Rwanda are in conflict. Matrab, which is both in Congo and in Rwanda, does not know where to place itself. Shall we call ourselves Congolese? Shall we call ourselves Rwandese? It's an enigma. We don't know what to do. In Zimbabwe, politicians are manipulating the people. Although they are dying in millions, but nobody cares. Starvation is ravaging the population. The Bible says all these things are not yet the end. They are just the beginning of the end. I have another message that I'm preparing, going thoroughly through all those signs. Politically, things also are happening to prepare the end. Because those who are in occultic sciences, they know that their time is at the end. And now the talk is New World Order. And when you try to do a search about the New World Order, you're going to find that the majority of the celebrities, politicians, all of them, they are into that. They are not only talking New World Order, but they associate New World Order with Illuminati. It's not strange when our own Prime Minister is saying nations have to take advantage of this credit crunch to promote a New World Order. It speaks volume. No wonder one can argue that they know what is happening. They are not surprised at all. May God help us. The message today is calling me and you to wake up from sleep. If only we are asleep. To watch and be ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will indeed come back, and that is very soon. But how are you watching? Is your heart deep inside boiling, desiring the Lord to come back? Or you are fast asleep, day and night, thinking how you can combine 2-3 jobs to take a second mortgage or to finish the first mortgage? Or how you can get a quick fix to get rich? Is your heart boiling inside in regard to a relationship? Day and night, when you sleep, you wake up, you feel that there is an emptiness there. You need really somebody by your side. Is your heart boiling for success? Where is your heart? Where is mine? Are we really watching for the coming of our Lord? Apostle Paul says that inside himself, something is happening, is boiling. He wants to leave this world to be with the Lord. But because of the saints, he feels staying. Not because of becoming a millionaire or a billionaire, like is a talk in many churches. Praise God, we don't have that talk in this church. He feels staying because of the saints. He wants to reach out to the saints, to bring the good news of the kingdom of God to the lost, those who still the darkness. That's what was returning Apostle Paul here on earth. That's what was the desire in his heart. That's where his heart was. Where is my heart? Where is your heart? I remember back in Congo, one member of my church had the guts to talk to me and say, "Pastor, you know, I love the teachings that you give into us, but you have to water them down. Otherwise, you'll die poor man." And she pointed to me some of the big figures of those servants who have gone far from the grace of God to become rich. Say, "Can't you see so? Can't you see this pastor, that pastor? It's easy, just do like them. You have the way, use it." Say, "Thank you for your advice, but get behind me, Satan. This world is not mine. My city is waiting for me there in heaven. I have God's promises. I know that He will meet all my needs, but on His own time. I have to learn how to wait on Him faithfully." Watch and be ready. Watch, desire His coming. Even though we know there are some prophecies that yet have to come to be accomplished before the Lord Jesus Christ comes down. I bet you on this. He won't come before we see our politicians realizing the dream of New World Order. And for them to succeed, they must do all they can to create chaos everywhere in the world. For every nation to cry for a breakthrough. We spoke about Zimbabwe. The time Mugabe was elected, normally he was not the one meant to pass. According to the elections, but he had a strong support from the West. And in those days, he did the will of the West. And at a certain time, he rebelled himself against the West. And the West dumped him. Doors were closed. And suffering came in the country. As long as you do the will of the mighty ones, you're going to talk the same language. But when you turn them the back, they will squeeze you. Like it or not, they will squeeze you. And that's what is going to happen. People will cry. People will suffer. The suffering that we see in today is nothing compared to what is yet to come. Until we go to that point of crying, America, this new America, will bring some hope. But that hope at the end will fail. And that's where, at the end, the Vatican will step in. The new world order will be established. One religion will be imposed. Politically, things will be under their control. Economically, will be under their control. And we'll say peace and security. And the Bible says a sudden ruin will fall upon them all. So we understand that there are many things yet to happen. Although we know that, we have to look at the apostles, the first believers. They were expecting the Messiah in their generation. They were eager to see him return in their time, waiting for his return and preparing themselves to be ready for that return. Because once he returns, it's over. Like C.S. Lewis said in Mere Christianity, that when the Lord will come back, it will be a chaos for those who are not ready. Is like the author of a play stepping onto the stage. When you see the author of a play walking on the stage, it means that the play is over. Something, when Jesus will come back, everything will be over. And at that time, there is no changing of mind. Of course, attending the church, but doing my own things according to my own will. Let me switch back and do what is right. No, it will be over for those who will be unprepared. But for me and you, as we are preparing ourselves and watching for his return, we will be not caught by surprise. He will say, come to me, faithful servant, and he will welcome us. And that is my prayer today. For me and you to watch for his return and to prepare seriously for that return, to be ready. We read about the wise servant. He got the talent and responsibility to feed the household of the master. And he did so accordingly to the master's rules and regulations. We have the same responsibility over our children, to show them the way, how they can watch for the return of the Lord and be ready. From the tender age, we have to teach them. Ministers, we have that responsibility in our churches. All those who are looking at us, like looking at men and women of God, we have the responsibility to take care of them, to give them proper food in proper time. And in a time such as this one, to tell believers to be watchful. Because seduction is entering even in the holy place, in the church. Any pastor, any minister can do whatever he wants as it's pleasing him and go away with it. Although we all know that the judgment, the retribution is coming. I was visiting a friend's church, and all the time I was going there, I was annoyed. So I chose not to go anymore, because my spirit was not blessed. For me, he was wasting the precious time of the people of God who are going there in that church, rather than preparing them for the bridegroom to come. He's wasting the time. And programs in that church are millions. In chapter 25, there is another story there of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were fools. Here, it's again about believers, me and you. Who are wise among us here? And who are fools in the midst of us? When the Lord Jesus Christ will come, he won't come to pick the whole church. No. He will select only those who have been watchful and who are ready. Not are about to be ready, but who are ready. And to the rest he will say, away from me. I never known you. Not that today I don't know you. No. I never. So when you were doing all your own things, preaching, playing the saint in the church, and when you are alone, you start doing unspeakable things, plunging yourself into all sorts of immoralities, he was seeing you. So all the hypocrisy in the church to him was nothing. He didn't know you. Although preaching well, singing well, doing all the stuff that we can do. May God help us. We need extra olive oil in our lungs for him to find us ready. Another way for you and me to be ready is when we are concerned about our family members who don't know the Lord. Because that passion and that compassion will lead us to be closer to God for them. And believe me, whenever you're getting closer to the Lord, either for your own needs, or your family members' needs, your neighbors' needs, your church needs, you are the one who are benefiting the most from that presence. You're becoming closer to the Lord, and each time you are in his presence, he always, always does something in you. Renew something in you. And work in your heart to make it a new heart. That's the work the Lord always do in us. He doesn't take this old heart and just wipe away old things and put new things in it. No. He changes the old heart and puts a new heart. But that can happen only when you coming closer to Him, gazing at Him, and then you change from glory to glory. Whether you come in His presence for your own problems, for the church problems, or for your family problems, or the country's, the nation's problems. Looking at that story in chapter 25, you're going to notice something. Although all the versions, they possess lamps and oil, the five wise ones had extra oil, and the foolish did not have extra oil. But the Bible says that at a certain time, when the bridegroom delayed, the oil fell asleep. Even those who possessed extra oil. But the difference is when the call was given, and for us, we're waiting for that trumpet to blow. The wise one managed to be ready because they had extra oil. Talking about this, I just want to draw our attention. Don't feel guilty if right now you feel that you are fast asleep spiritually. It's not that the Lord has abandoned you. Or it's not that you are empty, you don't have extra oil. It happens. Because whenever we're going through difficult circumstances, our heart can grow weary and our lamp can lose that light. Although in the tank of our lamp we have extra oil, but our light, the brightness of our light, can fade away. Because we are tormented by the problems we're going through, the situations we're going through. For some, it's those bills that you don't know how tomorrow you're going to pay them. Maybe when the post is coming through your door, your heart is just breaking. Because you expect the red reminder letters or by-leaf letter. For some others, it's the relationship. The marriage has been fought by the enemy. The marriage is breaking down. Or even worse than that, the marriage has totally, completely broken. The divorce is on the course or is through. You can't just sit there and smile, oh, hallelujah, I'm saved. Oh. You are a human being, a flesh. It breaks you. And the enemy always, he knows that for me to break him, I have to touch him at this particular point. He came to fight me through my relationship because he knew my nature. Maybe it's not the same case for Ken. He will come and do something that where he touches him, the man is down. Although his tank is full of oil, he can manage to pray. The momentum of praying just slips away. The joy of sharing about the word of God disappears. So whenever he's asked to come at the front to lead us, it's like punishing him. Although the tank is full of oil. That dark moment can come in your life. But don't worry. The Lord has promised to be with you every day, everywhere. Through thick and thin, He will be with you. Even when you feel in deep inside that, oh, I'm becoming like a pagan. Because whenever you want to pray, you can use, even for us who are multilingual, any language you know, and the prayer is not coming out. Don't worry. The Lord knows your faithfulness. And that's what happened to these five wise ones. The master delayed. The bridegroom delayed. They fell like asleep. But when the moment was there, they were on their feet to welcome the bridegroom. And we're waiting for that moment. If you are spiritually asleep, I pray that my God will touch you today and wake you up. Wake up, you who are asleep among the dead, for Christ to shine upon you. I pray that the Lord will bring an awakening in our church, in our families. Maybe what we have to do is to look again at our children. Although we have shown them the way of the Lord, of salvation, but there are some areas we are afraid to address them. That Deborah sought yourself. When you come in church, it's not a playtime when people are worshipping. Worship with them. We are afraid we leave them the opportunity and liberty to do whatever they want when we are worshipping. Maybe waiting for them to mature and decide for themselves. That is the wisdom of the world. The 21st century mindset. We belong to the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God has principles that we have to master, obey, practice, and teach our children to practice them as well. May God help us. Keep watching. Desire His return. And be ready. Day or night. We don't know when He's going to come. For some are waiting for that trumpet to blow. But God, in His sovereignty, can allow me to leave this world at my age. Although I still have many things to live for. You heard in America how that plane fell. Those who went aboard knew that they're going to reach safely to the destination. 48 of them died. And one person on the ground. All the project of winning the world ended that day. I'm not mocking them, but I'm calling to our attention to wake up. Continue to plan your life, to work hard for your life, to get stability in this world, financially and in any aspect. But remember, this world belongs not to you, not to me. And God will cause us to succeed. I want to conclude drawing our attention to what happened in those days of Noah. Noah heard the voice of the Lord. He trusted the Lord and obeyed. Although it was, how can I say it? A crazy thing to do, to build a boat far, far away from deep waters. Just believing that that massive boat will be lifted up by the waters from the rain. Such thing never happened before in the world. There was no history about it that Noah could look at and say, yeah, it's going to happen again. He just trusted the Lord. And he was not ashamed to tell people, repent. Repent. He's going to send the rain. Repent. The rain will destroy everything. Repent. What a foolish message. When you analyze it, really, really is not making sense at all. But he trusted in the Lord. His obedience performed miracles. God himself called the animals to come and queue up to enter the boat. Do you think he went to Africa, to Rwanda there, and tell two monkeys that follow me, there in Israel where I have built a boat, a massive boat? Do you think he went to Kenya, called those elephants to follow him? And here, this kind of animals, who we have here? Maybe pets, dogs and cats. Two of you, come, follow me. No, the Lord himself caused all those animals to reach the place of his obedience. In the same manner, when you obey in the Lord, in your tough times, when nobody, even in your family, even your best friends, cannot understand you, what is happening in your life, but deep in your heart you know that you're doing what the Lord has asked you to do, even though you're looking as a stupid person on the eyes, the Lord, at the time appointed by himself, he will cause the blessing you need, the breakthrough you need, to come into your life, to meet you where you are at that place of your obedience. Is not what ahead in these new age churches that all will be conditioned by the money you're sowing. No, rubbish. Is your obedience in everything the Word of God is asking you to do? Because with that concept, if, Philip, you don't have million to give to the church, then don't think or talk million. Because you never bless me with a million. How can you think that my special prayer will be powerful in your life and to make you a millionaire? Rubbish! If God ordained for you to become a millionaire, you're gonna get it. When we give, when we do everything, is by, because we obey him, we know him. It's not because we chase him and running after millions. He will cause all your blessings, everything that is yours, to come. Maybe in relationship situation, he will cause it to come back in place together. I don't know your situation. I have my own problems, and I'm waiting on the Lord patiently. May God help us. Shall we stand and pray, please?